This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
We still have a solid job market out there with wages still on the rise, although they're not rising as quickly and the stock market is down hard again. I'm David Brancaccio. 428,000 more people were added to payrolls in April compared to March, according to the data out this morning from the Labor Department. This is pretty much in line with what forecasters were expecting. Christopher Lowe is the chief economist at FHN Financial. Good morning.
Good morning, David.
I mean, lots of new jobs, but no shockers here, I guess, which isn't bad given how jittery the stock market's been.
The only headline number that wasn't very close to expectations was the unemployment rate. That was expected to drop. It didn't. It was unchanged, which is probably a good thing because at 3.6%, the Fed certainly doesn't want it going any lower.
Wages did go higher, but not quite at the pace that we've been seeing.
You know, the only thing I would point out about wages is that in the past year, they're up 5.5%, which sounds like a big number. But of course, inflation is up by the CPI anyway, by almost 8.5%. So wages are not keeping pace with inflation.
Chris Lowe, Chief Economist, FHN Financial. Thank you so much.
Thank you, David.
The mood of investors keeps shifting as they fret about higher interest rates and risk of recession. Yesterday, the stock market was a mess. The Dow fell 1,063 points, more than 3%, the biggest drop since 2020. The NASDAQ, with so many tech firms, fell 5% yesterday. This morning, the angst continues. The Dow is down 446 points in early trading, 1.4%. The S&P is down 1.7%. The NASDAQ is down 2.4% now, so down 7.5% or thereabouts since the open yesterday. Boeing is relocating its global headquarters to Arlington, Virginia, convenient to the Pentagon. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer joins us now.
Well, Boeing's defense unit was already in Arlington, David, and that campus will now be expanded since Boeing will be based there. Boeing says it's also going to develop a research and technology hub in Arlington, which will focus on cybersecurity, quantum sciences, and software and systems engineering.
Why leave Chicago?
Boeing says the move makes sense because Arlington is close to its customers. An increasing share of Boeing sales are from military contracts, and other military contractors are already based in the Washington, D.C. area. Northrop Grumman and General Dynamics are in the Virginia suburbs. Lockheed Martin is headquartered in Bethesda, Maryland. And Boeing wants to be closer to the Pentagon's procurement officers as well as federal regulators.
Now, this puts Boeing really far away from its roots in Seattle, where it still makes planes.
Exactly. And there are concerns about top Boeing executives being so far away from the engineers and the workers building its planes, especially in the wake of two fatal crashes of Boeing 737 MAX. Boeing also builds Dreamliner planes in South Carolina. It is waiting for the FAA to allow it to resume deliveries of those planes after they had production problems.
Nancy, thank you. On Monday, the auction house Christie's is selling a 1964 Andy Warhol painting of Marilyn Monroe. Christie's likes the picture, compares it to the Mona Lisa, and thinks it'll go for something like $200 million. Art critic Blake Gopnik, who's also author of the comprehensive Warhol biography, thinks this Marilyn, built on a photograph, is misunderstood, and he joins us now. Hey there.
Hey, David. Nice to be chatting again.
Yes, indeed. I see here the auction house is calling this an innovative portrait of Marilyn Monroe. No?
Well, I guess you might call it that, except for the fact that Warhol had already done his Marilyns 2 years earlier. So I don't think you can call it innovative in the normal sense, at least. You know, he called these paintings where he did retreads of his earlier, you know, really innovative pictures, he called them dead paintings. So, I mean, I think that this is actually a really great, important picture and actually may deserve the $200 million that Christie's thinks it may get. But I don't think this painting matters for any of the reasons that Christie's is saying. They've pulled out all the cliches, you know, that it's an untouchable image that transcends time and place. Those are just the kind of cliches that Warhol just hated, right? He would have been appalled, not at the $200 million number, but at all the cliches that have been pulled out for this dead painting, this retread. But it matters a whole lot because by virtue of being a retread, it was an appropriation in the first place, and that's what really makes Warhol matter, this notion of appropriation.
Well, that's why that picture matters. But, you know, the retreading is throughout art. You've pointed this out. It's essentially everywhere.
Yeah, actually, I make a claim that I guess is a little bit on the radical side, that appropriation is actually at the heart of the entire Western notion of fine art, that it begins around 1500 when a bunch of people said, you know those religious pictures, those wonderful altarpieces that are meant to please God? How about if we take them out of the religious context and just look at them because we're interested in them? We want to talk about them. We can't figure them out. That's what fine art is all about. So it starts out at the very beginning of the Western tradition, the modern Western tradition, as being about appropriation. And that's what Warhol latches onto and turns into kind of the heart of his entire practice as an artist. And that's what makes him, I think, more than his subject matter and more than all the cliches about pop art. What really matters is his deep belief in appropriation, his deep belief in the retread.
Blake Gopnik, art critic, New York Times contributor, and author of Warhol, the biography. Thank you so much.
Always a pleasure, David.
This weekend, I spotted a knockoff of one of these Marilyns, but featuring Leonard Nimoy, Spock, instead. That's the one I want. Our digital producer is Redmond Caralipio. Our engineers are J.C. Bould and Jessen Dueler. Our intern is Jarrett Dang. This is the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.